If you'd like to make your NFL games a little more interesting, you've come to the right place. It's the Even Money Podcast with Russ Tucker and Steve Fezzik.
Yeah, Vegas, baby, Vegas. Week 16 in the National Football League. Merry Christmas Eve and happy holidays to all of you out there. Boy, oh boy, Steve, we are coming off of an interesting week. It was my best week ever. I was up 9 units last week, Steve. Wasn't as good for you. You were down 4 units. Steve, you lost 5 units on the Bucks-Rams game. 5 units, and other than that, you were pretty good. Other than that game, and that was one of the best bets that you and I lost. We also lost on the Baltimore best bet. Atlanta, San Diego, and the New Orleans Detroit games all won for us on the best bets. We lost on Tampa, St. Louis, and Baltimore, but Atlanta came through. San Diego came through. New Orleans, Detroit came through. But Steve, 5 units on the Bucks. Is that the worst single game? It's definitely the worst single game you've ever had here on the Even Money Podcast. Is that the worst game you've ever had?
Yeah, it's pretty much it. And it ruins the week for you because you're walking around like Schleprock with a big black cloud over you for the entire weekend. Sunday can't start early enough after a game like Thursday.
So that voice, of course, most of you know, most of you are normal, loyal listeners, but that's Steve Fezzik. He's the only 2-time winner of the Super Bowl of professional football betting, no big deal. And he actually won it back-to-back, which is statistically almost impossible. Just amazing that you were able to do that. For the year, Steve is up 9.6 units, so he's still doing very well for the year. But after my big win, up 9 units, Steve, I'm up 19 units for the season. So unless I totally blow it and am the biggest idiot in the world, our listeners are going to probably make money from both of us, but definitely make money from me. Unless I blow it. Make sure you check out Steve's stuff over at pregame.com or follow him like I do on Twitter, at Fezzik Sports. You can also follow me at Ross Tucker NFL. Brian's at RTF Podcast. And if you want to get a link to this, you can always go to rostucker.com or I'll post it on my Facebook as well. Facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL. Let's roll, Brian.
All right, Ross, let's start off with the game tonight. San Diego at Oakland, the Raiders -6 with a total of 46.5.
Well, I like the Raiders quite a bit in this game for the same reason I think that Steve and I liked the Chargers last week and maybe should have liked the Rams last week as well. Playing in the potentially last home game, I don't think that's going to be the case for the Raiders, but potentially last home game for the Raiders in Oakland. It's definitely the last home game for Charles Woodson, who's had an outstanding career. I think the Raiders come out like gangbusters. I think the Raiders win this game, but 6 points is a lot to lay against Phillip Rivers and the Chargers. Phillip Rivers just doesn't usually get blown out. He usually hangs around. I guess I would lean, Steve, Oakland, but I'm not going to pull the trigger on it.
Yeah, I'm a little reluctant because Oakland has had such a terrible spread record, especially at home over the years, and especially as a favorite. And further, if you recall, Oakland blew out San Diego. I think it was 33-7 earlier in the year. So those factors favor San Diego. However, that was the Rams, St. Louis's, and San Diego's game of the century, winning the potential last home game. I don't think Oakland's going to L.A., but there's that possibility. So they fall into that slot. They will be super up, and San Diego will have, I believe, shot their wad last week. With it being Christmas Eve, I think you need a reason to be excited, and Oakland has it. San Diego had it last week. We're going to put one unit Oakland -5.5.
All right, Steve, how about the Washington Redskins at the Philadelphia Eagles? Philly -3. We have a total of 48.
How about the Philadelphia Eagles? Who can diagnose, figure out, get in their heads what this team is thinking now that their season is once again falling apart. They had that nice win which against the Patriots a few weeks back, which calmed everyone down, talking about how the locker room is shattered. But I've got Washington, the slightly better team. They're playing to clinch the division here. They've been awful on the road, but Philly has not been a good home team. I'm going to take Washington for 1 unit plus the 3.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Steve, talk to me about why the Redskins would be underdogs here, just because of how bad they've been on the road. And I just – that surprises me, that line. I guess – so the Vegas is saying that they're even teams and Eagles get the 3-point home field advantage?
Yes, and Philly is eliminated without this game. So although both teams need the game, Philly needs it more, and they're pricing the must-win, which Vegas often does. They overprice it.
I think they are as well. Plus, you know, as of when we're recording this on Thursday, the status of Byron Maxwell and Eric Rowe still up in the air. That's not real good going against DeSean Jackson, who clearly wants some vengeance in this game yet again. He's been pretty clear with that all week. We got a best bet on our hands here. I'm putting 2 units on the Skins, getting the 3 points.
The best bet.
All right, Ross, the New York Giants at the Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota minus 5.5 points with a total of 45.5.
So we know now that Odell Beckham Jr.'s not going to play. And before I get into the game, Steve, I'm curious, how did this line move this week? I know typically quarterbacks are the only real line movers, per se. I'm curious, though, what the impact was of the Odell Beckham stuff this week on the line.
Sure, and the line was at 6, and then Beckham looked like he was – the expectation was Beckham wasn't going to play. And then it appeared that they were going to go ahead and have a delay on the suspension, and the line went down to 5. Now he's suspended again for sure, and the line's back to 6. He is a needle mover. He's worth about a point.
Okay, so when the line moves like that, just refresh my memory, is that a reaction to the money coming in on one side or the other, or that's just what the sports book thinks is the appropriate line at that point?
When it comes to an injury like that, it's typically a reaction by the sharp sports books. However, the bettors oftentimes are ahead of the odds makers in this case. And so the odds makers, because they don't want to have to follow the internet 24/7, will usually circle a game like that, and they'll take a very small limit bet. So what will happen is one of their sharps will come in and lay 5 on Minnesota, and then they'll sometimes even ask him what's going on, and the bettor will say, oh, you know, Beckham's not going to play. And so that's oftentimes some of the books rely on their sharp bettors to make bets like that, but they don't give them limit bets in situations like this.
So there's an interesting dynamic that happens every once in a while when something like this happens and a top player suspended, that there's sometimes a letdown by the other team. It's like, you know, and it's subconscious. They don't think of it this way, but no Odell Beckham Jr. I'm sure a bunch of the Vikings are sitting there thinking, subconsciously, I mean, how are they going to beat us without him? He's pretty much their whole offense. So I'm going to pass this game. I would lean Minnesota in it, but I'm going to pass it because I've got a funny feeling about the Giants rising and Eli Manning rising to the occasion a little bit Sunday night. I don't think they're going to win the game, but I do think they're going to keep it close even without Odell Beckham Jr.
And I've got real good information betting-wise on this game. I don't want to spoil anyone's night after Christmas. I'm sure you've got big plans. Going to go ahead and go see Star Wars, or you're going to spend time with family or go out with friends on December 26th, or maybe watch the Washington-Philly game. And if you do so, watch it with great betting interest because Washington is playing to clinch the division. If Washington wins this game, in my opinion, you cannot bet the Giants because they will be so deflated. Maybe Minnesota will let up a little bit without Beckham. The whole Giants team will let up because their season will be over. So I would follow that game closely. The second it appears that Washington is going to win or will win, if you like Minnesota, you better fire then. And I'm going to make a conditional play. I will play Minnesota minus the 5.5, but only if Washington wins the game for a unit.
All right, Steve, moving on to Chicago at Tampa Bay. The Bucs minus 3 with a total of 46.
Okay, I give up. Tampa Bay, great stats, but I don't win when I bet on this team. Interesting, Chicago has won the stats 9 of their 14 games, and yet they've got really nothing to show for it. I do have a report that Chicago is trying out former CFL players, trying to shake things up. I don't know if that's a positive or a negative. Ross, as a journeyman O-lineman, how would you react if they brought in a couple guys from Canada trying to take your job? Would that motivate you, or would it make you a little less than happy? I'm passing this game.
Yeah, I don't know that it would have that much. A lot of teams bring in guys all the time. You know, I don't know. I don't know that because they're from the CFL that'll have much of an impact. I like the Bucs in this game. I don't know what's happened in the last couple weeks, but I do think that they still see, you know, 8-8 on the horizon. The Bears really have gone downhill, and it's almost like after those kicks by Robbie Gould missed, it's almost like now the Bears have almost quit on the season the way they played in Minnesota. I'm going to put one unit on the Bucs giving 3 points. I really wish that was 2.5, but I'll put one unit on it.
Ross, Carolina is at Atlanta. Panthers minus 7 with a total of 47.5.
Well, this is another interesting dynamic because obviously Carolina's going for home field advantage and undefeated, but they embarrassed Atlanta a couple weeks ago. I mean, 38-0, they're taking pictures on the sidelines. Atlanta got back in the winning column last week, so they got a little bit of momentum. They're feeling better about themselves in this one. I'm going to put a unit on the Falcons. I don't know that they'll win the game outright, but I think they're going to keep it close. I don't think they're going to take too kindly to those pictures on the sideline. Carolina's coming off an emotional, tough game against the Giants. I'll put a unit on Atlanta at home.
And I think you have the right idea. NFL teams that were 13-0 or better over the course of the season as they finished the season are now 1-12 against the spread. And I assure you, all those teams that came before Carolina were every bit as good, if not better, than the current 14-0 Carolina team. This included the Denver Super Bowl winning team and, of course, the 16-0 New England team. As Ross said, great spot for Atlanta to bounce back from the 38-0 pasting. The power ratings only make this game 7.5. I think the spot's worth a couple points. Atlanta plus 7, 2 units, best bet.
The best bet.
Steve, the Buffalo Bills are at home against the Dallas Cowboys. Buffalo minus 6 and our total 42.5.
Yeah, I was thinking about playing Buffalo. I think Dallas' season, obviously, they put up the good fight, but it should go quietly into the night here, but Dallas has been so good as an underdog. And as I look at the spread, I think back to myself, I could have gotten Green Bay and Lambeau laying 4.5 against these Cowboys. How can I lay 6 with this dysfunctional Buffalo squad? I pass.
Yeah, I don't think you can lay 6 with the Bills the way they're going right now. I got to check the weather to see how windy it'll be with Kellen Moore. He's got kind of a pop gun arm. You know, the former Boise State signal caller. I do think Dallas will move the ball a little bit better, though, with Kellen Moore. Rex Ryan likes to blitz. I think Kellen Moore will be prepared for that, get the ball out of his hands quickly. I'm going to put one unit on the Cowboys to keep it close. I just don't see Buffalo being able to blow them out. So give me one unit on the Cowboys. And that might be something that I would bet at a place like BetDSI.com, the only sports book I've ever signed up for, because they've been around 16 years, because they get A-plus on most of the sports book review sites, and mainly because they give you guys 10 free dollars. Whether it's Tucker 10 or Draft 10, you can use either code. Heck, use a different email address for a new account. But Tucker 10 or Draft 10, and you get $10 free at betdsi.com. Again, betdsi.com. Maybe make sure you use Tucker 10 or Draft 10 for that free $10.
Ross, let's move on to New Orleans. The Saints at home, -3.5 points against the Jacksonville Jaguars. We have a total of 52.
Yeah, I don't really understand this line. I'm a little surprised they even have a line with Sean Payton saying, you know, he won't know until Sunday. Is this off a lot of the other books maybe, Steve?
Yeah, I show it only being up at one local book here in Las Vegas.
And what's the line they're showing?
3.5, 52, New Orleans favored.
Yeah, I'm putting 2 units on Jacksonville. Either Breeze doesn't play or he does play with his bad foot. The Saints' pass defense is historically bad. And now here comes Bortles with Julius Thomas, Allen Robinson, Allen Hearns. That's how you get greedy. I'm going 2 units on Jacksonville and 1 unit on the over in this game.
So you want to be a professional bettor. Well, it's Christmas Eve, and you see a 3.5 at Aliante Station, a good 35 miles from my house in the southern suburbs of Las Vegas. Aliante Station is in the northern, far northern suburbs, and you just hate to let that go. I agree. It's a great bet. Jacksonville +3.5, 2 units, best bet.
The best bet.
Steve, the Detroit Lions at home against the San Francisco 49ers. Lions -9.5 with a total of 43.
Boy, the betting public just loves the Detroit Lions now. And, you know, looking back on it, after a bad start, they should have won the Hail Mary game. And then they didn't quit afterwards. Kind of like the Lions, but I'm not laying 9.5. Are you crazy with that defense and a team that can't run the ball with the lead? But I want no part of the San Francisco 49ers on the road, schooled by A.J. McCarron, who all he had to do was hand it off in the second half. I pass.
Yeah, I'm going to pass this one as well. I would lean towards Detroit, actually, even laying the 9.5. I think they're going to smoke the Niners, but I don't have that much confidence in it.
Ross, the Cleveland Browns at the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City -12.5, 42.5 the total.
Same kind of thing, you know. I mean, the Chiefs just don't score that many points to me to lay 12.5. I think they probably win by about 10 over the Browns. I probably on this one lean towards the Browns getting 12.5 in this game. I'm going to pass. I would lean Browns, but I'm going to pass. I was very close to putting a unit on the Browns, but I'm going to pass it.
Yeah, well, I lost 5 units last week, and part of the reason that I had a losing week is I primarily looked to play underdogs. And last week, the favorites of 3 points or greater, actually 3.5 points or greater, went 8-0 straight up, and they went 7-1 against the spread. If you count the Pittsburgh game as a win, that line went from 6.5 up to 7.5 right at post. When you see the favorites kicking butt like that, usually there are bargains the next week because the odds makers throw their hands up in the air and they get crushed. They actually lose to the players, and they put a tax on all the big favorites, and that certainly happened this week with several games, this being one of them. Kansas City got less than 300 yards against the Baltimore Ravens last week. You're not going to cover a 12-point spread very often when you're gaining only 300 yards. Cleveland, +12.5, hold your nose. 1 unit.
All right, Steve. Indianapolis is at Miami. The Dolphins -2.5 points. We have a total of 44.
You know, I'm thinking Hasselbeck. I don't know what he's getting paid, probably a couple million a year. And he's thinking this is the greatest gig. He's explaining it to his family that he's going to hold a clipboard all year long. And he's just getting the living heck beat out of him. And I feel bad for him because he should be like Andrew Luck, doing Andrew Luck commercials for investment trading companies, not getting his teeth kicked in. Although I don't know if Miami can really knock him out of the game like it seems like he should have been knocked out every game. I think that Miami, woof. I want to go against Indianapolis. However, I just cannot do it with this Dolphin team. We talk about dysfunctional all the way around. if I get a 1.5 on Hasselbeck touchdown passes, which I will, I'm going to play under 1.5 because I'm not sure he's going to be able to play the whole game. And so under 1.5 prop bet on the quarterback Hasselbeck.
Yeah, I think the Colts, I think the Dolphins have kind of packed it in. I think the Colts still have something to play for. I'll put one unit on the Colts. I don't know that I feel great about it, but I'm going to put one unit on the Colts getting the 2.5 points.
Ross, the Patriots are at the New York Jets. New England -3, total 46.
This line seems perfect to me. I mean, that's about what I think the score would be, you know, 23-23 in that range, relatively low scoring. I think the Patriots end up winning by a field goal. I guess I would lean Jet, but I'm passing this game.
Yeah, and this is the game where the power ratings make the game 2.5. Supposed to play the Jets catching the full field goal, and you just don't win betting against Belichick. Bowles will make some critical time mistake in the game, and Belichick will do something clever, and that'll not only get him the win, but they'll find a way to cover, and we'll be talking on Monday on the Ross Tucker podcast wrap-up about how the Jets should have covered, but they won't. I pass.
Steve, the Houston Texans at the Tennessee Titans. Tennessee -4.5. Total, 43.
Tennessee -4.5 with Mettenberger. Oh, my goodness, that is just crazy. Of course, Houston has no quarterback, but you could argue Tennessee has no quarterback. What's the total on this again, Brian?
43.
I don't see where the points are going to come from. I know Tennessee has had some high-scoring games, but their D has played okay. Under 43 in a game that has to be offensively challenged one unit.
Yeah, I'm taking the Houston Texans. I don't even know if I realized that this was the line. Whether it's Hoyer ends up playing or Whedon, I think the Texans win. They're showing a lot of faith in Mettenberger. He did do some good things against the Patriots to Dorial Green-Beckham and to Delanie Walker, but he didn't do that many good things. Houston with a lot to play for here. The Titans, not so much. I'll put two units on Houston and one unit on the under in this game. That's the best bet.
The best bet.
All right, Ross, the Arizona Cardinals at home against the Green Bay Packers. Arizona -4.5 and the total 50.
I'm a little surprised that Arizona's 4.5 point favorites. I guess they've just been playing so well. They're playing at home, although from what I hear, it won't be that much of a home field advantage. A lot of Packers fans, you know, they've got the week off from school or work, and this is their vacation. They booked a vacation to Arizona for the week or for a few days to watch their Packers because that's what they do. Mitigates the home field advantage there, in my mind. I think Arizona ends up winning the game, but, oh, man, I'm tempted to put one unit on Green Bay. I think Arizona's better. Now they don't have the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, but Green Bay's been a little shaky. I'm going to pass the game, but I would lean Green Bay.
Put a unit on Arizona. You know, I have Arizona rated 6 points better than an average NFL team, and Green Bay only 3.5 points better. Green Bay's been much worse on the road. I think it's a really bad travel spot for Green Bay where they have to go out to the West Coast, get the win, home for the holidays, right back out to the West Coast again. Arizona's had a much bigger home field advantage, so one unit on Arizona, the much better team by my power ratings. I'm going to go three units, best bet over 49.5. I know Rodgers has had five straight games with just in the low 200s in his pass yards, if you don't count his Hail Mary, but I see this as a complete shootout, and Green Bay's played in slop weather three of the last 4 weeks, and the weather will be obviously perfect in this stadium. Over three units, best bet.
Steve, the Seattle Seahawks are hosting the St. Louis Rams. Seahawks -13.5. Our total is 40.5.
So I was going to play on the Rams. Jeff Fisher's been great as a big dog, except the Rams were able to beat Seattle a few times over the past couple years, including this year, and I don't like that. And I don't like the fact that Seattle's got revenge, and they were so good at the end of last year. They came on, and they seemed to win every one of these games 30-9. And the other team couldn't even get to 10 points. I'm going to pass.
Yeah, this is a big – I mean, for a Rams team with back-to-back wins to be 13.5 point underdogs. That's just too much. I got to put a unit on the Rams. I think they lose. I think they probably lose by double digits, but 13.5 points. Give me one unit on the Rams.
Ross, the Pittsburgh Steelers minus 10 at the Baltimore Ravens, 47.5 total.
I'm going to be at this game. It's still up in the air who's going to be the quarterback for the Ravens. But I'm going to be there on Sunday. Very much looking forward to the press box food, hoping for the crab cake at halftime. We'll see whether or not that ends up happening. But I'm gonna take the Ravens for one unit. This would make their entire season. If they could beat the Steelers, sweep the Steelers for only the third time in franchise history, knock the Steelers out of the playoffs, I just think that the Ravens are going to go crazy in this game. Their pass defense has actually been better recently than you realize. Give me one unit on the Ravens.
Ross, I'm going to be thinking of you as I have my two Dunkin' Donuts and my coffee, and I'm betting all these games, and you're feasting on the crab cakes. Ah, the life of a former NFL player, NFL announcer. I think you got this one nailed. These two teams hate each other. They normally play very lower scoring games and games that are decided by 3 points. And now Baltimore, without a quarterback, is getting 10. I would have 3-unit this bet, except Justin Tucker won the first game against Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh. So I don't like that at all, the revenge factor. Even having said that, I'm certainly not playing any Pittsburgh games under. I'm still going to put 2 units on the Baltimore Ravens, who I think that this is their Super Bowl for the rest of the year, and they will bring it in this game.
The best bet.
All right, Steve, let's finish it off with Monday night, the Cincinnati Bengals at the Denver Broncos. Denver minus 3.5, and our total is 40.5.
Sure. So A.J. McCarron was very workmanlike, looked good, wasn't asked to do too much, did start out with the spread offense and then ground and pound in the second half. Osweiler has a banged-up shoulder. He's not 100%, so I already consider him to be a backup quarterback, and now he's injured. Denver has the best defense in the league. Since he has certainly a top-five defense, you add it up. I know Monday night games historically are higher scoring, but I haven't even checked the weather. I still make this total lower than the 41 currently. I really like the under. This should be a snoozer. It looks like 3-3 midway through the second quarter, under 41, 2 units.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't like the line itself. I think the Broncos probably win by about a field goal, so I'm not going to touch that. But I'm with you. I don't see Osweiler scoring that many points against the Bengals defense. And I don't see A.J. McCarron scoring that many points against the Broncos defense. So I'm going to go 2 units on the under in that game as well. That'll do it for our Week 16 edition of the Even Money Podcast. We'll, of course, be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. And other than that, we appreciate everything you guys do. Happy holidays again to you and yours. If you can spread the word via social media about this podcast, that'd be great. Or iTunes rankings, comments always really help as well for the iTunes algorithm. And, of course, you got our sponsors over on the sponsors page at rostucker.com, including betdsi.com. Other than that, I think we're done. Good luck, everybody. Hope you win some money.
Thanks for listening to the Even Money Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, the Fantasy Feast Podcast, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.